Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There is a need for words of warning. Paul once said in Colossians 1 verse 28, warning every man. Pinpointing danger is not often received well because people prefer not to be disturbed, even when the issues involved are serious. However, those who prefer truth to comfort and acceptance by crowds are not deterred from warnings, especially with respect to the matters affecting the Lord's church. Now, this lesson points to dangers concerning the function of the church. It asks the question, what are churches for? What are they supposed to be doing? The reason for the existence of the church since Pentecost has been to worship God and to proclaim the gospel of Christ to a sinful world. The church, and indeed the world generally, needs to understand this. Because the religious world, including some churches that call themselves churches of Christ, have strayed from this prime function. They branched into a wide variety of other activities. The role of church has become blurred. We prefer not to believe it, possibly, but the truth is that what is called Christendom has become woefully impotent in this world. It certainly does not possess the force and the influence that it claims, and it is not near what it could be. The manifold isms of men have failed to provide for man's spiritual needs, actually contributing to the confusion and frustration with the inescapable dissipation of power and the resources that follows denominational attitudes and denominational divisions. In some instances, there has been an increase in church attendance at various religious groups, but it smacks more of being misguided. It's superficial. It seems hollow because there's no noticeable change in the lives of the individuals. What is called Christianity has certainly not stemmed the swiftly advancing tide of sin, as is evidenced by the fact that atheism is actually the fastest growing religion in our nation. Of course, most of that which is called Christian is far removed from what the Bible reveals and calls Christian. But even those who profess to restore Christianity, there's an attitude of compromise and this will of just go along to get along with whatever happens. Therefore, even though Christ and the faith of which he is the author is the hope of the world, the average person in the world is not really impressed. What many see in churches today is hardly that world-influencing, heroic, sacrificial, and aggressive movement the Scripture defines as Christianity. As we ponder this less than consoling thought, we affirm that the Word of God is true, and the fault lies with those who profess to be Christians. The fault does not abide with the doctrine of Christ. The Bible is the verbally inspired Word of God to man. And if only man would give it the respect it deserves, there could be and would be a better world now and in the hereafter for us all. Christianity, in its truthful simplicity and purity, is unbelieved. It's untried. So many cast it off without any fair consideration. And still, the Church of the Bible sends forth the message that it is the world's hope. Faithful Christians are busily engaged in sending that message and attempting to dismantle the man-made substitutions for the Lord's church. It is only when the oracles of God serve as the standard can the needs of man be provided. Yes, we can restore form and doctrine and work and spirit and attitude of the faith of Christ. But there is always the danger of departing from the true path. And this danger is very much in evident in our time, because so many have obviously lost sight of the real reason for the existence of the church. Apostasy from truth usually comes slowly, so slowly that the inattentive are not even aware of it. Now, if it came abruptly, more would possibly recognize it. But it is the gradual inching away that goes unnoticed that brings havoc eventually. In a spirit of zeal and passion for activity, with a sincere desire to do good, many are prone in haste to follow the paths of digression rather than to adhere to the authenticity of the Word. Now let us explore this a little bit more. Religious people are engaged in so much activity and business that they often lose sight of the Lord's business. While there are many activities in which we can involve ourselves as individual Christians that produce various benefits for mankind, so many of these things are of lesser importance than the mission and the function of the church. Who would contend that coaching a Little League baseball team ranks alongside providing opportunities for worship on Lord's Day? Whoever would has lost sight of things. Yet, as one observes many religious groups, you would think that the sports leagues have become the priorities of the church. Not only are churches involved in that for which there is no authority of God, things that are not the work of the church, but sometimes matters of minor significance, such as paving the parking lot, they seem to be dominant, even to the exclusion of preaching the gospel to the lost of the world. Brethren can readily spend large sums of money for such conveniences, which are not wrong in themselves, but they stumble and argue and wrangle and postpone and wait and put off and hesitate to undertake efforts to preach the gospel. It is customary for many of us to lay the blame for public indifference to Christ at the feet of our times, the secular emphasis, the humanistic educational system, and such things as that. And surely all these things have taken a deadly toll. But that's only part of the trouble. A great amount of blame can be laid at the feet of those who wish to restructure the church, to compromise the true mission of the church, to turn the church into just another social order, often more akin to a recreational organization than a poor man's country club. The world trivialities have become center stage. More enthusiasm can be raised for a gymnasium than almost just about anything else. Ball teams, playrooms, entertainment, gimmicks, things of like sort will arouse a congregation sometimes to fever. But brethren who seek funds to supply their physical needs while they go into fields of labor to preach the gospel can hardly find invitations to make their appeal. You cannot lay blame for that at the feet of anybody else but church members, especially elderships and preachers who are at the base and source of such disgusting situations. Something is wrong when a preacher is known more for his jokes, his sports prowess, his keen personality, than his soundness of doctrine and the militant manner of presenting the truth and opposing error. Oh, he may please what is called the laity, but he is repulsive to the God he says he serves because he misses the mark. Churches have sponsored ball teams, sports tournaments, fashion shows, all kinds of dinners for this and that, musical shows, even spent huge sums of money providing physical facilities for recreational activities. Friend, is this the institution bought by the blood of the Son of God? Is this the charge he gave to his people? Is this the work that he gave them to do? Is he so interested in providing Mother's Day out and kindergartens and play camps and schools for secular education, seminars for art and music and how to feel good about yourself? Is that why Christ died? And all the while the pulpit and the classes and the literature speak with uncertain sounds, if not outright unsound sounds. Now these situations of which I speak are not invented, they are not imagined. They exist, not only in the denominational world, but among some groups that still call themselves Churches of Christ, who are led by project promoters and college fundraisers and schemers, who make it a profession to make money from whatever they can sell a gullible and ignorant eldership to finance, and gain for themselves a big name. As we note the emptiness of denominationalism, let us be honest and admit how like them so many so-called Churches of Christ have become in recent years. From the mail received in church offices, the promotions in church bulletins, the ads in brotherhood journals, please come to give to this camp, support this college, attend this lectureship, which as often as not will include false teachers that cannot be trusted to even teach the truth. Why should faithful Christians support schools whose lectureships have for years on end been little more than ecumenical councils that uphold false teachers and false doctrines among brethren? Brethren and churches are urged to attend this rally. Buy these tickets. Go to this fundraiser supper for some brainstorm of somebody who is accountable to nobody for anything and does little more than beg for money from everybody. Such is so often the order of the day among us. Now, many of these things have a place, and as individuals we might find it our liking to support them. But the erosion so obvious today is that more and more parasites on the church treasury are being invented, and nobody seems to even want to ask, is this what the Bible teaches and authorizes as the work of the church? Friend, indeed, why should not that really be our first question? It is not the mission of the church to build secular schools, or recreational centers, or gymnasiums, deceptively referred to as family life centers, or bathhouses for camps and trips to Disney World, or even just a grand and ornate building, even though places of assembly are authorized. As said earlier, great enthusiasm and contribution can be raised for cushions in the pews than support for needy mission work in distant lands. Just where so many brethren got the idea to adopt the new emphasis for the church, we find hard to determine. But the glamour boys of the hip hip hoorah approach, alongside the flashy and sensational, have led the way. Schools and papers and preachers, who once deplored digression, are now not only warming up to such things, but are right in the middle of them, because it brings in money and power and fame. It satisfies their personal ambitions for their own pet projects. Your speaker has opposed such things with such intensity that it is obvious he is no longer considered acceptable by those who have succumbed to the pressures to go along just to get along. Regardless of how far removed from the true churches of Christ drift, now more like a run than just a walk, the truth remains. The work of the church is to worship God. It is to preach the word to the lost and to edify the saved and provide for the needy as opportunity affords. The work of the church is to help one another get to heaven. Now, there are many lessons showing biblical authority for these activities, and they've been repeated and presented time and time again. But this lesson serves as a warning against what has and continues to happen among us. While many are not aware of Christ and not even concerned about sin and their spiritually condemned state, Christ remains the only Savior and His church is the only church approved before God. And the church's colossal failure to keep this foremost in its activity is a tragedy, and there is payment to be made by those who fiddled on the game court while souls burn in sin. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But you could never get that from the heavily staffed, constantly fed, multi-activity programs of some churches, programs that are weak on truth, strong on compromise, heavy on having a good time. It breaks the heart to see these denominational strife so abundant among our own brethren. The function of the church is not just activity, but authorized activity. We have been saved to save, and we accomplish this by spreading the gospel throughout the world. Maybe the reason many have left this emphasis is because they do not know the word themselves, and therefore find it easier to invite somebody to play ball or eat dinner than teach them the simple plan of salvation. When we keep the true purpose of the church before us, dear friend, the trivia that has bogged us down will melt like snow under a hot sun. The foolishness of much expenditure, and the many staffs, and the equipment, and the programs, they will discontinue. Truth, the salvation for the lost, will once again become paramount. But so many have just gone along with the digressive trend for so long that there will likely be some time before we can look with confidence upon many churches of Christ with informed elderships and preachers and members to really do what churches are for. Many congregations are little more than flickering and dying embers of what they once were and what they still could be for Christ. They have joined with the with it generation, the now bunch, the mob crowd, And now, once and again, we see churches not knowing what they are for. We once knew what churches were for, and the church grew rapidly, and souls were saved, and God was glorified. May the day be not too afar that more and more of us will once again become aware of what churches are for. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.